We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it seems the more I read the Bible, the more important the role of geography becomes to interpret it. Last week we heard how Jesus was at Tyre and Sidon out of the territory of Israel, and he encountered the foreign woman with a daughter who was needed healing. And now in between that week's reading and today's, Jesus has gone to other places around Galilee. But today we pointedly see him at Caesarea Philippi. This is as far north as you can go in Israel, just on the border with Syria. And Jesus may have gone there intentionally because there was a shrine to the Roman god Pan, and because there was also a temple dedicated to Caesar. It's here, in the presence of this temple dedicated to the Roman emperor, that Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is the chosen one. He's the one upon whom the rulership of the world has been bestowed. Jesus replies that Peter is correct. This kind of faith is the rock, the bedrock, upon which his kingdom, the church, will be built. It's kind of ironic, but only three verses later, Jesus turns and heads toward Jerusalem for his final days. From the far north, he heads to the main city of Jerusalem, where the church and government leaders will confront him head on, where the Saint Peter will deny him, and where the king and the Messiah will be nailed to the cross. We know from other Gospels that even after Peter denied Jesus, that Jesus forgave him and gave him a place in his band of followers. We know from the New Testament how God used this man who was quick of tongue, Peter, and often got himself in trouble by speaking and acting too quickly, and he then became the chief spokesperson for the church. If you read the book of Acts, after the life of Jesus, we see Peter time and time again leading the Christians as they continue to go to the temple and as they had to separate from going there after a while. We hear of stories of Peter being imprisoned but miraculously released. He healed people. He led the church in Jerusalem. Later, he and Paul didn't always agree, but he maintained leadership in the church, and today St. Peter's Church in Rome could be called the most significant church in Christianity. It seems that so often Peter was the first one to act and speak while the ministry of Jesus was going on. When Jesus wanted to go fishing with the disciples the night after there was no catch, it was Peter who protested, wondering what good that would do. When there were more than 5,000 people gathered in a lonely place, Peter wondered how they would be fed. It was the healing of Peter's mother-in-law that was one of Jesus' early miracles. Peter is the one who raised the sword to cut off the ear of one of the soldiers from the temple who, when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden. It was Peter who dared to stay in the courtyard the night Jesus was on trial, even though he was from a distance, which made his accent more recognizable, and they did detect him as a follower of Jesus. But God was able to use this assertive personality characteristic of Peter so that he could be an effective leader of the church, willing to speak up when necessary. We could say that maybe Jesus was like a good coach or like a good employer. Jesus could see the talent that was within Peter, and when it was redeemed, it was set a new direction, and then Peter became a great leader. For some of us, speaking up comes pretty naturally, but for others of us, it doesn't. We don't all have the gift of vocal leadership that Peter had. In recent weeks, though, I've been hearing more of people in the congregation telling me that they've been speaking up more for the good in situations where they find themselves. And if they're telling me about it, it's not a thing they would naturally do. They're kind of bringing themselves to do these things. They're realizing that where they are, by speaking up, they can make a difference. They can be the advocates of the needs of others or for the good of all. one person in a hospital was telling me she was speaking up for the roommate who didn't seem to getting all the care that she needed. Another person in a care center wants to make sure the people caring for her have enough of what they need. Others have been concerned about something happening in the neighborhood or in the community and are finding the need and the ability to speak up for a more fair or better place to live. And another thing to speak up for is our faith in Jesus. That can be delicate, but there may be a place to say that the reason that we're speaking up or that the reason that we care about something is that our faith brings us to do it. Since Easter Day, when Jesus rose from the dead, it's been a challenge for the people of his church to know when and how to speak up. Conditions always vary. Sometimes there's a free and open society and all words are okay. Sometimes, as some in our congregation have experienced over the years in other countries, to speak of any religion is illegal. So it's often a challenge to know what to say and when to say it. When do we compliment? When do we affirm and encourage? When do we offer an alternative question or say, is this really what we want to do or what's happening here? And when we're unsure about what to say or how to say it or when to say it, it feels like we're on gravel, that we don't have a firm footing and that our foot could slip. We're not sure at all. And so our help is in the image that Jesus uses about the faith of Peter. It is faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of a living God. This is the rock. When we know we have a firm place and firm footing because of what our Savior has done for us, and because he loves us, and because real life lies in his hands, then we have a solid rock upon which to stand or to hold on to. When we know that Jesus is the rock of our lives, the one who holds us and gives us life, we have much more ability, like Peter after the resurrection, than before the resurrection. We're much more able to be bold and to speak for the Lord and for the kind of goodness and fairness that Jesus would want. We usually think of rocks as very hard objects, or if they're large, we think of them as very immovable. But when we think of our faith in Jesus as being in a rock, we know whose support is immovable. But we also know that this Jesus is tender and forgiving. After Peter denied that he knew Jesus when Jesus was on trial, he remembered that Jesus said, "You will deny me 3 times. When Jesus had predicted it, Peter had said, "Oh no, that'll never happen." But now he knew it was true. Jesus had predicted correctly. He realized what he'd done. He dissolved into weeping, it says, when he realized what he'd done. He didn't resemble a rock at that point. But according to John, after the resurrection, when Jesus was at the lake and Peter was with the other disciples and Peter noticed that it was Jesus on the shore, and Peter, being the first, always jumped into the water and went to the shore to get close to Jesus. Jesus had a conversation with him, and Jesus said 3 times, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." And Jesus accepted Peter and made him again, shall we say, the rock of the church. And Jesus, then, who is our rock, can be counted upon to be tender and to be completely forgiving and supporting at our most vulnerable times. You may have noticed that as soon as Jesus told Peter he was the rock of the church, he said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom. What you forgive on earth is forgiven in heaven, and what is not forgiven on earth is not forgiven in heaven." These are words that give real strength to the rock of faith that we have in Jesus. Jesus has even given us the ability to forgive one another. He's handed over the keys. He said, "I don't retain the sole ability to forgive sins. When you forgive sins, those sins are forgiven." Jesus has given us the ability to forgive one another, and the promise that when we forgive, the sin is forgiven with God as well. this rock of faith we have with Jesus gets better all the time. Not only is this rock stalwart and firm, but it is forgiving so that we can have complete oneness with God and with our neighbor. Last week, I mentioned a couple of times that when we are comfortable in our own skin, we're more comfortable with other people. When we're not anxious, when we're not feeling good about ourselves, when we're feeling guilty or not worthy, these things bring out the behavior that tries to cover up or compensate for what we don't like about ourselves when we're in all these moods that aren't so good. But often ends up being hurtful to others, and we are even hurtful to ourselves when we don't feel good about ourselves. It's when we know we have this forgiveness of Jesus and the forgiveness of one another that we can feel okay about ourselves and act with civility and kindness and love and forgiveness to others. This is Jesus, who is the rock of our being. This Jesus, as Peter confessed to him, is the Messiah, is the Son of the living God. This one is our rock. Yes, Jesus is stalwart and strong, but he is the one who forgave a weeping Peter. We can count on this Jesus to love us, to know our sin and forgive us, and to be even on our side when we can't exactly feel that he's on our side, but we know he's there with us. There's a saying out there on t-shirts and other places that says, Jesus is my rock, and that's how I roll. Jesus is our rock in thick and thin. He is the one we can always count on to receive us back. He's the one who counts on us to be in the world for him. We roll with him. As we are sometimes elated, sometimes we're troubled, but we always know that we have a secure place with him who receives us unto himself. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.